you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. As we continue in our series, Armor On, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for your word and just thank you for that reminder, Lord, that we can stand on the truth of your word. And I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how much we need to be believing that truth and standing on it and fighting for it for the souls of people in these last days. Pray to come this now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last November the 3rd in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 25-year-old Grant Gunter was walking down Station Street about 2 o'clock in the morning when all of a sudden he saw some teenage thugs breaking into his truck. And because they were ripping him off, he started yelling at them and chasing them and praying, "Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me." And about that time, one of those kids turned around and shot at him with a 9mm. And that bullet was headed straight toward Grant Gunter's belly when all of a sudden it hit his belt buckle and just deflected off. So instead of Grant Gunter being gut shot, it just grazed him, and those two kids were eventually caught and arrested. Now what stopped that attack and what kept that guy from being shot was his belt. Well, the Bible tells us that the devil and his demons are constantly out there trying to attack us and shooting at us all the time. And what protects us from those shots is our belt too. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Armor On, looking how we can put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and start fighting and winning that war that the devil has declared on us. Last week we looked at why we even need to put on that armor to begin with, and today we look at the first piece of that we're supposed to put on, and that's the belt of truth. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14. In this part of Ephesians chapter 6, every piece of equipment that we're supposed to put on, we're also supposed to use to fight the devil. And our text today tells us the first thing we strap on is the belt of truth. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today why we need to put that one on before anything else. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, tells us three things that we need to do with truth in order to take a stand and give the devil a beatdown. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do with truth in order to take a stand against the devil, we need to believe it. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 13 and 14. Now that word belt here in the NIV is not talking about one of these. It's talking about one of these. Not like a belt that we wear today to keep our pants on, but a belt that Roman soldiers wore to keep their armor on. A belt that they wore underneath their armor that held everything all together, with leather guards to protect the groin where major arteries were. And notice, Jesus does not say in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall just have the truth." Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." You've got to believe the truth. The first thing we need to strap on for battle prep is the belt of truth. And I know there's somebody here in the sermon right now saying, "But Kevin, what truth? Because what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me." No, because there's no such thing as my truth or your truth. There's only the truth, which is God's truth, and everything else is just somebody's cockeyed opinion. And God gave us that truth in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And He also gave us that truth in the Bible, the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, the Word of truth. And that word is proven true over and over and over again. The new Webb telescope can see 9 times further into space than the old Hubble telescope did. And last week it started sending us back images of galaxies billions of light years away. And a spokesman for NASA said this, "This shows us even more how vast and awesome the universe really is. This changes everything." No, it changes nothing. Because we've always known from the Bible, Isaiah 48:13, that God created the universe so gargantuan it blows your mind. Amen. Nice to see modern science finally catching up to the Bible after only about 7,000 years. The Bible is true. last May the 14th, little Barrett Golden from Kingsville, Texas, was playing with his mom's phone when he somehow managed to order 31 cheeseburgers from McDonald's and get them delivered to his house and give the DoorDash driver a $16 tip. Barrett Golden's only 2 years old, the little twerp. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. Children are born with a sinful nature. That's true. The Bible tells us that marriage is a blessing. And that word blessing in the Hebrew literally means to be fat. Study out of Harvard University 2 months ago said married people on average are fatter and happier than single people. The Bible is true. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. Said the wise man turns to the right, the fool turns to the left. Which is something that we've known all along. All leftists are idiots. The Bible is true. There is a God who created all things, a Savior who paid the price for our sin, a devil who's trying to drag you to hell, but there is victory in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Christians, we got to put our belt on. Because the problem is, the world today doesn't believe in truth at all. And it's all from a lie that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When God told Adam and Eve, if you disobey God and eat of the tree, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Which really meant they would become God themselves and determine on their own what good and evil is. Which is exactly what people are doing today. So today, instead of you being a special creation of God, you just evolved by accident from a meaningless gobbledygook. Today, instead of there only being two genders, male and female, like God says, everybody's a genderqueer unicorn. Today, instead of marriage being only one man and one woman, marriage is exactly what God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for. Amen. Do we see how the devil lies and misrepresents everything that God creates? 6'3", 225-pound college swimmer Leah Thomas is twice the size of the real girls that he swims against because he's a biological male. And even though Leah Thomas has not had one hormone, has not had one stitch of reassignment surgery, Leah Thomas is a woman simply because he says he's a woman. Doesn't just feel like a woman. He's a real objective woman, they say. Because the Matrix has already gone back and changed all of his pronouns from male to female in every single thing that's ever been written about him on the internet. So according to them, he's not only a woman now, he's always been a woman. And just this past week, the NCAA nominated him as Female Athlete of the Year. People, if that is not a sign of the demonic deception going on in America right now, I don't know what is. And why the insanity? Truth comes from God and God's Word. Americans don't know beans from buckshot about God or His Word. Fewer Americans believe in God today than in any other time in our nation's history. Only 48% of Americans ever read the Bible. Less than 10% read it every day. 94% of teenagers today have never read one verse of Scripture. Only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. No God, no truth. And the devil is having a field day. Folks, we've got to believe the truth that God gives us. And what can happen when we do? For years and years, Red TR Racing was a B-level thoroughbred farm in Lexington, Kentucky, and never produced any horse flesh that was anywhere near good enough to race in a Triple Crown. 2016, they lost 23 horses in a stable fire. 2020, trainer Eric Reed spent 9 days in ICU with COVID pneumonia. And last year, he lost two of his very best friends to cancer. So you talk about being this close to giving up and walking away. But then last September, owner Rick Dawson bought a horse at a claiming race named Rich Strike for $30,000, a horse that had never won a race in its entire life from a place called Calumet Farms. And Calumet Farms had bred 8 Kentucky Derby winners, but they had given up on Rich Strike because they didn't think he was ever going to win Diddly Squat. And even though trainer Eric Reed worked with that horse, he lost his next 5 races and never finished any higher than 3rd. And none of those races were any of the traditional run-ups to the Triple Crown. But 1 month before the Kentucky Derby, the jockey, Sonny Leone, had a dream that he said was from God that Rich Strike won the Kentucky Derby. And then trainer Eric Reed said he prayed about it. He believed God told him that Rich Strike was going to win the Kentucky Derby too. if he could only get entered. So as crazy as it sounded, they paid the entry fee, and Rich Strike got put on a waiting list all the way up until the day before the race on May the 6th when another horse scratched, and Rich Strike was in. So they put him in last place, number 20, and gave him the second biggest odds in the history of the Derby, 80-1. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, expected that horse to finish anywhere but last. Because people claiming horses simply do not win the Kentucky Derby. But what do you know? Well, during that race, the Blue Bloods were Epicenter and Zandon. And they were out in front, and Rich Strike was in 15th place with only a quarter mile to go. And then this happened.
The final furlong, Zandon is coming after him. Epicenter and Zandon, these two, stride for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. We're coming down to the wire. Epicenter, Zandon, Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh my goodness, the longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike has done it in a stunning, unbelievable
upset. One horse. He's in the two path right now, and he's going to move around one more horse that doesn't seem to be running very fast, and he's moving. So Sonny Leone guides in between horses, and now he really starts to accelerate, and he'll move back in. As he approaches the middle of the turn, watch him move back to the inside rail. That was a really big move right there, because then the table is set for him to just run up the rail as the other front runners tire.
Epicenter's 2.5 lengths in front there. He was further back than usual early, but he handled it beautifully, stormed to the lead. Zandon had a dream trip along the rail for most of the race. He swung out perfectly. It was the battle between the two horses we thought were the best. And out of the clouds, a lightning strike from Rich Strike.
Unbelievable, people. That horse hit the rail and gave all the favorites a royal beatdown. Starting in last place to come back and win that race by 3/4 of a length, shocking the world and proving everybody wrong. A nobody horse with a nobody jockey, a nobody trainer, and a nobody owner at 80-1 odds, and they still won. And you know why? Because that horse was bred to win, and he didn't give a rip what the odds were. And because that trainer and that jockey had the truth from God that that horse was going to win. Eric Reed said this, "With God, all things are possible." There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You are just like that horse. God made you a thoroughbred. The world is calling you a nag. God made you a winner. The world is calling you a loser. And the devil and every demon power in hell is telling you that you're a nobody and you're not worthy and you don't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning anything. But listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you lost or failed in the past. I don't care how many people have given up on you. I don't care how big the odds are stacked against you. What God is telling you is truth. What the devil is telling you is a lie. And today, if you choose to believe the truth and reject the lie, you can shock the world and prove everybody wrong and give the devil a beat down too. The first thing that we need to do with truth in order to stand against the devil, we need to believe it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do with truth in order to stand against the devil. We not only need to believe it, we also need to use it. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 13 and 14. Now you get that armor of God when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there is a really big difference between just having it in your closet and actually using it. And the reason that Paul tells us here in verse 13 to put that armor on is because God knows we don't put it on. Right. Folks, you don't have to make it. You don't have to buy it. Just put it on and wear it. Because that is your protection. That's your weapon against the devil. Amen. Do you know why 18-year-old psycho Peyton Gendron shot up a grocery store and killed 10 people in Buffalo, New York last May the 14th because he knew that whole area was a gun-free zone. So after he took out the security guard, he knew there wouldn't be anybody else there carrying around any weapons at all who would shoot back at him. You know why the devil today is shooting up and taking out so many Christians? Exactly the same reason. So Christians, let me ask you this morning, are you doing open carry and carrying around the truth of God's Word to fight back against the devil every time he takes a shot at you? Take a stand against the devil with the truth of God's Word. You have to be able to spot demonic activity. And some of it's pretty obvious. Years ago, I was in a house in northwest Indiana dealing with a little four-year-old boy who was literally climbing up the walls like a spider, defying gravity with nothing to hang on to. I've been in rooms with people throwing fireballs, people moving things with their mind. Doesn't take a genius to figure out that's demonic. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, Kevin, I don't believe in demonic power. Listen to me. All you have to do is see it one time, just one time, and I guarantee you, you will never doubt it and you will never forget it for the rest of your life. 10 years ago, we were in a house in Ottawa with a family who was coming to our church at the time because the little kids in that family were seeing people in the house that the adults weren't seeing. Mommy, who is that man standing beside the TV? So when we got there, lights were going on and off. Parts of that house were as cold as ice, even though it was summertime, and they didn't have any air conditioning. And when one of the gals with us picked up their little baby boy, that little boy's eyes rolled up black like a shark's eyes, totally black. Okay. But you know what the biggest problem was? Dad wasn't saved. He came to church and he knew the word, but he wasn't using it. Dads, listen to me. You are the spiritual, the head of your house, and the devil watches for that. So if you are not spiritually protecting and covering your family, the devil's going to be all over your kids like ugly on ape. We used the Word of God to chase all those bad spirits out of that house, but even better, 3 months later, Dad got saved and started praying and claiming the Word, the promises of God's Word, and pleading the blood over his house and his family every single day, and everything has been peaches ever since. Christians, listen to me. It is not enough just to have the truth. It is not enough just to know the truth. You've got to actually use the truth. Because demonic power and power of the devil isn't always that obvious. Like people's heads spinning around and spitting up pea soup like on The Exorcist. It's a lot more subtle than that. Any self-destructive behavior comes from a demonic influence. Mark chapter 13, verses 17 to 18. So if you're cutting yourself, burning yourself, anorexic, puking up everything you eat, anything that hurts the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit comes from a demonic influence. Suicide especially, because we know from John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus comes that you might have life. Amen. It's the devil who wants you to off yourself and die. But you know what the biggest attack of all? It's from the devil. You know the biggest way that he attacks us? And you need to listen to this because even though it's not as exciting as green slime and shape-shifting two-spirit animals, it's far more deadly. You know the biggest way the devil attacks us? Lies. Those thoughts that he puts in your head that contradict God's Word and go contrary to what God has given us in His Word. Sets itself up against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And we all deal with them. That beautiful girl sitting right there, every time she looks in a mirror, the devil tells her she's fat and ugly and stupid. Lie. This guy right here has been dealing with medical issues for years and years. Every time he has a blood test, the devil tells him he's never going to get healed. Lie. There's young women in this church who are still as single as a $1 bill. And every time they go to a wedding, the devil tells them no guy is ever going to want them and they're never going to get married. Lie. The devil tells me all kinds of lies too. COVID is going to shut down this church again. There's going to be high-speed rail out there. Power outages are going to shut us down on Sunday mornings. Lie. And you know why the devil lies to us? To rattle our cage. To get us so frustrated that we're not doing what we're really supposed to be doing, that's praising the Lord and serving Him. Amen. All kinds of lies. Bible isn't true. Prayer isn't going to do you any good. You're worthless. You're never going to amount to anything. Your husband doesn't love you anymore. Your kids are never going to get saved. You're never going to stop looking at porn. You're just a perv and you might as well kill yourself because the world would be a far better place without you in it. Sound familiar? Do you know why Robert Cremo III shot and killed 7 people in Highland Park during the 4th of July parade? Because he believed the lie that life was meaningless. Do you know why Ivanka Trump turned her back on Christianity back in 2009? Because she believed the lie that Christianity wasn't true anymore. And Ivanka Trump died July the 14th, stood before God in judgment and found out she was wrong. John chapter 8, verse 44, the devil is the father of lies, folks, and those lies are literally killing people. Amen. The biggest ongoing spiritual battle that you and I will ever fight in our entire lives is the battle for right up here, the battle for our minds. Last April, pop singer Justin Bieber was diagnosed with Ramsay-Hunt disease that took away his hearing and caused such bad paralysis in his face he can't even eat. Folks, pop singers need to be able to hear. And they need to be able to use their mouth in order to sing. And even though Justin Bieber's a Christian, he got so depressed, he was thinking about suicide. But then, this is what he did about it. This is what he said in People magazine. This disease just keeps getting worse, and Satan is constantly trying to make me afraid and depressed. But every day, I just take all the negative thoughts he gives me and focus on the good thoughts that God gives me in His Word. Because in His Word, I'm reminded that Jesus is always with me and knows exactly what it takes to heal me. I'm in a real storm right now, but the promises in His Word always give me an absolute peace. Justin Bieber is winning that spiritual battle because he is using the Word of God to fight off the devil. And how do you and I win that spiritual battle? By doing exactly the same thing. Christians, listen to me. Just because the devil lies to you doesn't mean you need to believe it. The devil's biggest target is your mind. His biggest weapon is a lie. Your number one protection is the Word of God. You replace the bad thoughts with the good thoughts. You're not worthless. You're priceless. You're not a victim. You're a victor. God doesn't hate you. He loves you with an everlasting love. God hasn't abandoned you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And no weapon against you shall ever, ever prosper. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, because with God all things are possible. I get up every morning and I strap on that belt of truth and I tell myself those things every single day. You replace the bad thoughts with the good thoughts. For 25 years now, Muslim terrorists have been slaughtering Christians in Nigeria. And ground zero for that persecution in that country is Plateau State, where the worst, the most horrific persecution has been going on. Christians being murdered, churches and houses being torched. But last Sunday, July the 17th, in Plateau State, right in the hub, thousands and thousands of Nigerian Christians got together for a huge prayer and praise service in a soccer stadium. This is what part of it looked like. People crazy? Doing that right out in the open with all the persecution going on? No. Because they realize no matter what happens to them, Jesus Christ is still worthy to be praised. And even if they have to die for His name, the Bible is still true. Jesus is still Lord. The gift of God is still eternal life in Christ Jesus. They're still going to heaven and the devil is still going to hell. Listen, that spiritual battle is not won when God changes your circumstances. The spiritual battle is won when you change your mind about your circumstances. Change your thoughts, change your life by using God's Word. Do we understand the difference between having a weapon and actually using it? Last Tuesday, May the 24th, a 19-year-old psychopath named Salvador Ramos walked in the back door of Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, got into two fourth-grade classrooms and opened fire with an AR-15. Wounding dozens of students and two teachers. And even though police got there in 3 minutes and tried those classrooms, when the gunman shot at the classroom door, all the cops took off, ran back down the hallway, and then stood there and did absolutely nothing. Well, that psycho kept executing little kids in those rooms. Videos released by state investigators showed what an absolute disgrace the police response was. 11:33 a.m., the shooter enters the school, and 31 seconds later, he starts shooting and kids start screaming. 11:36 a.m., cops enter the school as kids are calling 911. But when the cops try the classroom door, the gunman shoots and the police go back down the hallway and do absolutely nothing while more kids are being shot. 19 minutes later, more police arrived, heavily armed and wearing body armor. But even though children and teachers are shot and bleeding out and fighting for their lives, police just stand around and do nothing. 48 minutes later, even more police arrive, so the shooter is outnumbered 60-1. And the gunman shoots four more times, but still, the police just stand in the hallway, some of them scrolling on their phones. One of them even puts on hand sanitizer. 77 minutes later, finally an hour and 17 minutes later, attack team from Border Patrol shows up, says the heck with the standing around business, breaches the door and shoots and kills Salvador Ramos in that room. Altogether, 376 law enforcement officers from seven different agencies, including federal marshals and the Texas Rangers, heavily armed, loaded for bear, and wearing body armor against one skinny 19-year-old kook who had never shot a gun his entire life until that day. And yet those police, not one of them, did anything to try to get into that classroom, either through the door or through the windows outside, while dozens of those kids were calling them and begging for their lives on 911. People, didn't that happen in Texas, the home of the Alamo? And isn't the lesson you sacrifice yourself and you do everything you possibly can to save the lives of innocent people? Isn't that what police are trained to do? Isn't that what they're called to do? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? But instead, they did nothing. As those people were shot to pieces, some of those little kids were so shot up, they were decapitated. And at least two of them and one of the teachers died on the way to the hospital, proving some of those people could have survived if the cops had done their job. But instead of doing their job and trying to save people, they not only didn't do their job, they kept parents and detained parents from going into that school to save their kids, something that the police weren't even willing to do themselves. Folks, what the cops did at that school was absolutely unconscionable. But then fast forward to last Sunday, July the 17th, to the Greenwood Park Mall in Greenwood, Indiana, when 20-year-old Jonathan Sapperman walked out of a men's bathroom with a Sig Sauer M400 and opened fire on a food court, killing three people and wounding two others. But within seconds, before the police could even respond, 22-year-old Elijah Dickens from Columbus, Indiana, heard the shots, grabbed his totally legal Glock 33, put his girlfriend underneath the table, waved for everybody in the food court to get behind him, and bore down on that shooter from 40 yards away and shot and killed Jonathan Sapperman on the spot. 10 shots, 8 hits at a moving target from 40 yards away in less than 15 seconds. No backup. No Kevlar, no body armor, no shield. And Elijah Dickens is a hero because instead of running away from the shots like the cops in Uvalde, he ran toward them and simply used his weapon to take out the threat and save dozens and dozens of lives in the process because Jonathan Sapperman had hundreds of rounds of ammo on his body. People, listen to me. It's one thing to have a weapon. It is a whole other thing altogether to have the gravel in your gut and the spit in your eye and the power of the Holy Spirit to use that weapon when you have to. So the question is, Christians, are we using the weapon that God has given us, the truth of the Word of God, to fight against the devil when he attacks and when we need it the most? The second thing we need to do with truth in order to stand against the devil, we need to use it. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do with truth to stand against the devil. We not only need to believe it, we not only need to use it, but third, we need to fight for it. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here also in verses 13 and 14. Notice not one single time in this text does Paul ever say the word sit. Because Christians, this is not a fight that you and I can sit out. He doesn't say sit, he says stand, stand, stand firm, take your stand. Christians, we got to stand up and fight. And you don't quit. The Roman soldiers never took that belt off until the battle was over. And Christians, you don't take your belt off either because the battle ain't over until Jesus says it's over and comes back and takes the devil out. And until that time comes, the devil is just as relentless as a horsefly. He just keeps coming at you and coming at you. So for crying out loud, Christians, grow a spine, tighten your belt, take a stand, and get in this fight. Because all kinds of Christians today are fighting the devil for the sake of truth. On every side. Last June the 17th, when that Disney movie, Lightyear, with the totally unnecessary lesbian kissing scene, that movie hit the theater, it absolutely bombed. And why? Because Christians stayed away in droves. And they also canceled thousands and thousands of Disney vacations this summer and boycotted every Disney company from Pixar to ESPN. No mouse in my house. J.B. Pritzker has turned Illinois into the killing fields for abortion. See the billboards that people from other states see now when they cross into Illinois? Illinois used to be known as the land of Lincoln. Now it's known as the home of a safe abortion. People, don't tell me the devil isn't in charge of this state. Women from all over the country here coming to Illinois to kill their babies. And you and I are paying for it. No parental notification. All the way up until 9 months. You don't even have to be a doctor. In Illinois now, nurses can even do abortions. Because you got to keep that Planned Parenthood blood money flowing. But we have people right in this church who are fighting it. People in this church who are volunteering for the Hope Life Center in Ottawa. Mary Nevins prays and protests in front of Planned Parenthood in Ottawa every single week. Ed and Janet here do sidewalk counseling at a death factory in Downers Grove. And you know why these people do this? Because even though abortion may still be happening in Illinois, it's not going to happen by their permission. Christians, we got to stand up and fight. Verse 13 talks about the evil day. That's talking about the last days. And what's the number one thing we fight against in the last days? Deception. And people, it's everywhere. Joe Biden this close to declaring a climate emergency because of the heat, even though the hottest summer on record was back in 1934, 88 years ago already. And even though far more people every year die from the cold weather than they do from the hot weather. Deception. Study after study after study all over the world is showing now the people who are getting the most COVID and the worst cases of COVID are not unvaccinated people. They're the people who have been vaxxed and boosted to the max, like Dr. Fauci and J.B. Pritzker and Joe Biden. 1 year to the day, exactly 1 year to the day, Joe Biden told a CNN town hall that if you get vaccinated, you can't get COVID. Vaccinated Joe Biden got COVID himself. And folks, Joe Biden, you know why? Because unvaccinated immunity is not nearly as strong as natural immunity, and any first-year medical student will tell you that. But see, I said that in a sermon back in 2021. I got canceled on YouTube and called a domestic terrorist. And folks, Joe Biden is fading in front of our very eyes. They knew this man was not capable of this job, and they hid it. And they lied about it. He can't finish a sentence. He claims that he has cancer when he really doesn't. 2 weeks ago in Israel, he did this.
Great honor. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Shaking hands with imaginary people again. And listen to me. Alzheimer's is not funny. It is a very, very serious thing. But the problem is, Joe Biden was picked to be in the White House by the New World Order precisely because he does have Alzheimer's. Because that way he's a lot easier to control. And they can complete the revolution by destroying this country and the economy and the fossil fuel industry. And taking away our First and Second Amendment rights and radicalizing our schools and sexualizing our kids. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said, "Do not let yourself be deceived." These last days, we've got to fight for the truth about what's really going on in our world right now. Just exactly like Bible prophecy says. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, when the Antichrist comes, he will confirm a covenant with many nations. And that word confirm means he's not going to make that covenant. He's just going to confirm a covenant that already exists when he gets here. And now we know exactly what that covenant is. For decades and decades, all the honchos in Washington, D.C. said the only way to have peace in the Middle East was the two-state solution, forcing Israel to give up land to create a new nation of Palestine inside the nation of Israel, which is suicide for the Israeli people. And the problem is the Palestinians do not want a two-state solution because they do not want a state of Israel to exist at all. And every time the Palestinian Authority was offered a two-state solution, every time they were offered a Palestinian state with a capital in East Jerusalem, they turned it down. because they don't want to coexist alongside of Israel. The Palestinians just want Israel dead and gone. So back in 2020, President Donald Trump said to heck with the Palestinians and just started signing peace treaties between Arab Muslim countries in the Middle East and Israel. Treaties called the Abraham Accords. But when Joe Biden took office, he took the Abraham Accords and added the two-state solution to it, telling all kinds of Muslim countries in the Middle East, if you normalize relations with Israel, they will help protect you from Iran's nuclear weapons, and they'll give up land for a two-state solution. And of course, all kinds of Muslims today, they're all over that. Of course they want that. Saudi Arabia has even told Israel if they give up land for a two-state solution, they will help Israel build the temple again on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. A temple that is not there now, but will be there when the Antichrist comes again. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And why would the Israeli people go along with the two-state solution? Because sadly enough, most of the Jewish people in Israel today are so atheistic, they don't have a clue about who God is or what that land is really all about. And the problem is, God said in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, He would judge and destroy all the nations that divide His land, because God gave the land of Israel only to the people of Israel and nobody else. And yet, there's Joe Biden in Israel, last July the 14th, with Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid signing something called the Jerusalem Declaration that calls on Muslim countries to cooperate with Israel as Israel agrees to this two-state solution. So folks, that covenant that the Antichrist is going to confirm with many in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that is Joe Biden's version of the Abraham Accords. And Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 tells us it is a covenant from hell because it is leading directly to the last days and the coming of the Antichrist and the great tribulation and the slaughter of the Jewish people during the time of Jacob's trouble. Amen. And you know why we know that? Do you know how many days there are between Donald Trump signing the Abraham Accords September 15, 2020 and Joe Biden signing the Jerusalem Declaration July 14, 2022? That would be 666. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Don't tell me we are not this close to the rapture and the end of all things. And in the meantime, what do? We stand up and we fight for the truth. And not only of God's revelation word in here, but also God's prophetic word in here. Not only the truth that God gives us in the word, but also the leading of the Holy Spirit that He gives us here. Amen. In our spirits, in that still small voice. Things like where you're supposed to go to school and who you're supposed to marry and what job you're supposed to have and where you're supposed to work. And most importantly, what God is specifically calling each one of us to do in these last days to take on the devil and win people to the kingdom. Amen. Leading like God gave me. I grew up at Faith Lutheran Church in Watseka. And one Sunday in 1972, my Sunday school teacher said, "Kevin, have you ever thought about going into the ministry?" Well, of course I never thought about going into the ministry because I was only 9 years old. The only thing I thought about was G.I. Joe. And even though I thought that guy was crazy, I never forgot what he said. When I was 18 years old, the pastor at my church asked me to preach a sermon for him on a Sunday morning. And when I was done, people were coming through the line shaking my hands. One of the persons shook my hand was Sue, long before we were ever involved with each other. And she said, "Kevin, God has really given you a gift. I think you need to use it." No clue there was ever going to be involved with her up to her eyeballs. Graduated from high school in 1981. Graduated from college in 1985. 1989, God told me to go to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, the seminary in Deerfield, and be a pastor. And then everybody around me thought I was the one who was crazy, because I was really, really shy. And my former college professors told me, "Kevin, you should have been a writer." My own mom told me I should have been a Spanish teacher. Thanks for the encouragement, Mom. Trinity Seminary gave me an aptitude test and said, "Whatever you do, do not be a pastor. Do not go into ministry." This is the school that I was attending. And during seminary, I'd go back home to Watseka and I'd work in a grocery store. My college friends would come in and they'd say, "Kevin, didn't you graduate from college? What are you doing working in a grocery store?" And I'd tell them, "Well, I'm trying to earn money to pay for seminary to be a pastor." And they look at me and they say, "Are you serious?" You talk about discouragement and attacks from the devil. But see, when God gives you a revelation and He gives you that prophetic word and that calling of God on your life, you stand on it and you fight for it and you never ever let it go no matter what happens to you. 1993, I finished seminary, did my internship, married Sue. When I graduated, God told me, you are going to pastor a church close to a major crossroads. People are going to come to that church and get saved, and my word is going to go out of that church all over the world. And I got a lot of calls from a lot of churches. Fox River Lutheran Church was the very first church that gave me an interview before they heard me speak, and I never forgot that. They sent me a call letter, and I was supposed to respond within 30 days. I waited purposely one day till after the call letter because I still had no idea what to say. So finally I called the chairman of the call committee. God spoke to my heart and said, say yes. Don't miss out because you're going to pastor a church close to a major crossroads. And people are going to come and get saved. And my word is going to go out from there all over the world. And I believed that. But the problem was Old Fox River Church wasn't anywhere near a crossroads. It was on 27th Road outside of a little town in Norway, and most of the people in the town didn't even know the church was there. And I'd go back home for visits, and people, my friends in Watseka, would find out that I'm pastoring a church up in LaSalle County, and they'd say, Kevin, how's it going up there? How's it really going up there? Like they expected absolute disaster. And it wasn't, because every day I would strap on that belt of prophetic truth that God had given me. And I would stand on it and I would fight for it that I was going to pastor a church close to a crossroads and people would get saved and God's word would go out all over the world. Well, because of that, in 1998, God started blessing this congregation so much and sending us so many new people. We put a building committee together and bought this property and put up this building in 2006, and even more people came. But don't think for a second it hasn't been roses, because there's been all kinds of attacks. Amen. Demonic influence. Strip club that tried to build right over there in the corner of 52 and 71. I had people from this church try to tell me to resign. They called me a heretic for preaching the rapture in the last days. I had an assistant pastor that tried to get me fired. I had elders that stabbed me in the back and threw me under the bus. Sometimes the only reason you keep doing it is because you know that God called you to do it. So I got up every single day. I strapped on that belt of truth, that prophetic truth that God had given me. And I took a stand and I kept fighting. And because of that, look at the situation I'm in now. I'm pastoring a church close to a major crossroads of 52 and 71 where 20,000 cars stop every single day. People are coming to this church and getting saved. But one thing I never figured out, where was the part that God said about God's word going out from here all over the world? We were giving out CDs. The sermons were on two radio stations. That's just local air. Where was the global outreach of Fox River? Well, then what do you know? In 2020, COVID hits. And they start doing something here called live streaming. So God's word wasn't just going out in CDs and radio stations. It was going out over the internet all over the world. Got this letter from a man named Edgar Bunning in Devonshire, England. Pastor Kevin Garner, I wanted to send you this note to thank you for the ministry that you and your congregation have at Fox River Lutheran Church. My name is Edgar Bunning, and I am the official organist at the Episcopal Church in Devonshire, England. If you know anything about the Episcopal Church these days, you know that it abandoned the Word of God a long time ago and is completely steeped in gay rights and social justice, so the plain preaching and teaching of God's Word has long since been forgotten. And the reason I don't leave my church is twofold. First, there are no other churches in my area that are any better than the one I'm in now. And second, I am the only organist here. And even though the priest doesn't preach from the Bible anymore, we still do sing old hymns that are filled with scripture and biblical doctrine. So I continue to play at this church where I've been all my life, so at least the people who attend can hear the gospel and biblical teaching in the songs. But I also want you to know that I've been listening to your live stream for over a year now and cannot tell you how refreshing it is to hear God's word still preached with conviction. I have shared your videos with several others here in Devonshire, and at least three of them have prayed to receive Christ and become born again. And I have also sent links up to your live stream to missionaries that our Bible study supports in Africa and Asia, and they have been extremely blessed by them as well. So thank you and your congregation for the witness that you are having all across the world. Just want you to know the impact of Fox River Church is far greater than you can ever imagine. And people, I can show you dozens and dozens of other letters and emails just like this one. You will pastor a church close to a major crossroads. and people will come and get saved, and my word will go out from there all over the world. People, is God Almighty just as good as His word or what? So Christians, listen to me. Even if nobody else understands it, even if everybody else in your family thinks you're crazy, even if you don't feel God, even if you don't see any fruit at the beginning, even if a bunch of hard-headed people are giving you a hard time at every turn, even if people you thought you could trust are stabbing you in the back and throwing you under the bus, I am living, breathing proof that when you get up every day and strap on that belt of truth, that prophetic truth that God has given you, and stand on it and fight for it, for the souls of people in these last days, and do what God has called you to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, nobody, and I mean nobody, not even the devil or any demon power in hell, will ever, ever, ever be able to stand up against you. So Christians, let me ask you this morning, what is God telling you to do right now? What is God telling you to do right now? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And please, no distractions. Unless it is absolutely necessary, would you please stay in your seat? I don't want anybody distracted. I want everybody to hear from the Lord today. God not only gives us His revelation word to all of us in the Bible, He also gives us that prophetic word for each one of us individually, in our spirit, in that still small voice. What is God telling you to do right now, at this point in your life, in these last days, in the situation that you are in, with the gifts and talents He has given you? What is that prophetic truth that He wants you to strap on right now and stand on and fight for the souls of people? And if what God is telling you right now is contrary to the Word of God, of course it's not God telling you that. That's the devil. What is God telling you right now? There's dads listening to the sermon right now. What the Lord is telling you is it's time to get serious about being the spiritual leader of your house. It's time to rededicate your life to Christ and start leading your family in the way of the Lord. There's young people listening to this sermon right now. What the Lord is telling you, it's time to stop screwing around with the world and turn your back on the world and take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ with the rest of your life. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. What the Lord is telling you, you need to get saved. You need to confess your sins to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for you to take your sins away, the only way that you could be saved. You need to pray to receive Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart to be your Savior. The second this service is over with, you need to get out of your seat and come to the front of this church and pray with one of us up here. And you can leave this church today knowing where you stand with God. What is the Lord telling you to do right now in that still small voice? With however much time we have left, however much gas you have left in your tank, what is that truth that God is telling you right now? Maybe it's a complete change of your life. Maybe it means packing up and moving to another state, getting a totally different job. Maybe it's not doing anything different, just doing what you're doing now in a different way. Maybe it's a brand new ministry to your grandkids. What is God telling you to do right now? And let's pray. Lord, how long has it been since we heard from You? Not a preacher, not a small group leader, not a Sunday school teacher, not a friend, from You. And Lord, we claim that promise right now that You give us in John 10, that Your sheep hear Your voice. And when You speak, we will know that it's You. And we should follow it. And I pray, Lord, You would just speak to us right now, every single one of us. What is that prophetic word of truth that You want all of us to buckle on and to stand for and fight for in these last days? Just thank You, Lord, for the way that You reveal Yourself. Thank You, Lord, that You make Your plans clear. I pray, Lord, that we would be those servants of Yours in these times where You have placed us to proclaim that truth and to see people one to You. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.